Hey, what's up?
Oh.
I wish I'd worn my stocking hat.
Well, I had on a hat that said dad, and then Sarah's like, you got a lot going on. We're getting to that phase where I come up the steps. She's like, "You can't do that."
Yeah, not working.
I didn't think I'd be there. I'm like, I hear old guys like you talk about that. No offense.
Welcome.
Be like, my wife dresses me. I'm like, dress yourself, dude. And now I come up and she's like, not that.
So, I'm in Mexico Sunday morning, and I took a suit coat, stuffed a suit coat in my suitcase because the dude dresses up.
Yeah.
And I had a pair of pants that I've not worn much in there, and I got paralysis by analysis or whatever. So I actually took a picture of me in the mirror, and I said, sweetheart, I just cannot match.
And if she said no, what were you going to do?
I don't know. I think I'd have taken a picture of what I had left and say, what do I do? Like, where do I go?
You take a picture of your clothes and put an AI, like, make me look nice at a Mexican church. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I literally was like, is this the right thing? I put one pair of britches on with that suit coat, and I'm like, I don't look right. Something's not right. But I need her to say, you're okay, or yeah, you're not.
I always laugh at you about that, but we're slowly entering that phase.
Do I match today? I always figured blue jeans.
Yeah, blue jeans are safe, I think. Yeah. Just not with your suit jacket at a classy church in Mazatlan. Not that. Yeah. All right, we're here. We're here. We'll see if that gets cut or not. Season two. You think this is season two?
Yeah, let's do season two.
Of the story of God Pod. I said that to the team. Like, we got to take the story of God Pod.
Story
they said,
God Pod.
They said, absolutely not. I'm saying it still. Can't stop me now. You know? But
well, now it's a thing.
We're both. This is, you just got back 2 days ago. Your team flew back from Mexico.
Yep.
Got rerouted because a giant snowstorm just came through January of 2026.
Flight got canceled to Dallas because of snow. We rerouted to Minnesota because they were.
Which makes sense. And drove for 15 hours
and
through the snowstorm.
Through the blizzard.
And the adrenaline just descended today.
And literally. This morning is when I started to feel like, huh, body missed a night of sleep.
And I shoveled my whole driveway, which is a long drive. And now I feel like you when you're having back problems. So we're both just like, what do you think about Jesus? I think he's good. You guys think he's good? All right, we'll see you next week. That's where we're at. Hey, so we kind of, this January, have been in this, kind of looking at the authority of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Authority of his teaching, authority to forgive sin, authority over the storms. We kind of looked at online, authority over kind of the demonic realms. And so we've been kind of in this Jesus season of everything. When you think of those stories, because I think of this, we read those stories and that's cool. Jesus did all this stuff. But then we live our lives. We all have our own authorities. And how do we take those stories and the authority that Jesus carries in those stories and let that transform our lives, that we submit to his authority in our decisions, in our finances, in our relationships? Like, how do you see those two things kind of coming together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I worded differently on the email to him.
Yeah, you started with a different question, which if I'm going to grab the question he started with and to lead into this. How's that?
Oh, so you wrote the whole thing out.
Well, in my brain, I think this, that we're in this Jesus part of the story.
Yeah.
And this is the part that makes the Bible come together. It's like the hub of the whole wheel.
Yeah, yeah. Where all the threads kind of find
all
there.
The threads come together. The best illustration that I think I've ever come across is it's like one of those auto stereograms. It's like a picture you look at that you look at and it's two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know, it's just a bunch of lines and design. But the more you stare at it, the third dimension comes into play, and there's a picture in there. There's actually a person's face or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think that with the Bible, that the more we stare at it, we realize that it's actually a picture of Jesus, front to back. Clear from Genesis when he's like, man, crush the head of the serpent, all that stuff. So the promises are fulfilled in Christ. The imagery in the Old Testament is all comes together with Christ. You see these lambs and these sheep And then you get the New Testament, behold the Lamb of God. Or so Bible front to back about Jesus. So when you get to the New Testament, he's calming storms and he's casting out demons, he's healing people and so on and so forth. There's a sense to which some of that, we got to read that and realize that some of that is a demonstration of his absolute authority.
Yeah.
But it's not like he healed everybody who was sick.
Right, right.
Or cast out every demon, or that every storm that took place while Jesus was alive, he calmed.
Yeah.
Right? So they were demonstrations. And so I began to think to myself, well, how does all of that, because it's a demonstration, absolute authority, and that's what he is.
Yeah.
And so the follower of Christ to recognize that is the decision to surrender. Mm-hmm. I think about it this way, Aiden, this is the way I think about the authority of Jesus. It's absolute surrender to the one who had absolute authority yet surrendered to the cross for us. That's the way I think about it.
Yeah.
And here's how I think about it. That absolute surrender, here's the irony of Jesus' authority in our life, is the pathway to freedom. Hmm. It is the only pathway to freedom. The reason we buck authority is I'm free to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And in so doing, we're not free.
Yeah.
Jesus said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so the fact is he has authority to forgive sins. If I try any other way to get out from underneath my sin, I'm stuck. I'm in prison. I'm captive. But in Christ, absolute authority, I'm going to absolutely surrender to what he did for me. I'm going to absolutely put myself under that. That's the only way to freedom. And then I think about that with, you know, he's calming the sea. Sometimes he does.
Yeah.
But when I surrender absolutely to him, there's a freedom and a peace that I can have. Sometimes in my life, he calms the waves. But sometimes in my life, because he's present in those waves, he is the calm as I walk through the waves. You see what I mean? He is the absolute authority. And so in that, there is freedom. I think there's peace. There's security. It's when I buck out of that, I'm trying to, you know, I'm free to do what I want, is how we would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I find myself imprisoning myself to an anti-authority. Tim Keller, I think it was him, apologize if it was somebody else, said the absolute authority of Jesus in our life is kind of like, I think he called it a life quake. That when we recognize him as Lord, it shakes everything up, because because priorities, all those things, it shakes it up. But what you find in the Gospels is that Jesus is the absolute authority who comes into an upside-down world and shows us the right-side-up way to live. And so that's the way I think about it. It's absolute surrender to the one who has absolute authority, yet surrendered so that you and I could have freedom.
Yeah,
is how I look at it.
You would turn into a good sermon. I sang these late last night, and you wrote a sermon between the two. What do you think are some of the – because authority resonates with some of us, and then for others of us, you're like, I don't know. But we're all living our life by authority, whether it's the voices, whether it's who we're submitting to, whether it's, to use your language, who we're surrendering to, who we're taking our cues from, who we think is worthy of our attention and respect and time and followership. What do you think are some of the ways that we even – maybe sometimes unaware, submit to authorities in our lives, that we let certain voices, certain things kind of lead, rule us, that sometimes we're not even aware of? What comes to mind?
Well, I mean, a lot of things come to my mind. I think some of this, if we could use this word, anti-authoritarian attitude, is so deeply embedded in us as Americans, first of all.
Sure.
Right? So our roots are,
get out of here, Britain.
The revolution. And then add to that the Protestants, the Protestants, so there's some of it's deeply bred in that, and then just our own sinfulness.
Sure.
Like, I honestly think, I remember preaching a sermon one time through James, and I think I said it this way, that there's a two-year-old inside of all of us.
Yeah.
And so probably the authority that I surrender to more than any other, and I don't think I'm alone, is me.
Yeah.
I trust me.
Yeah.
And so that's where you get the mantras, do what feels good, be true to yourself, you're your own boss. And it's like, you can't tell me what to do. And we will take that to God, you know?
Yeah.
And yet, I don't make a great authority most of the time. I trust myself too much. I think another one that we can submit to, I'll use a blanket one, and then I'll kind of hone it down. There's cultural authorities that we submit to.
Yeah.
And so we want to fit in, or we just give, I would say a dangerous one is politically.
Sure.
You know, we're in a political camp, and so we give authority to certain leaders and spokesmen in our political camp that, well, they said it, this is what we're doing, this must be right. And it's like, it becomes hard to kind of match that against the Word of God for some. And so I think there's cultural authorities that we, for a teenager, it could be their peers.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know? Well, that, you know, mom and dad, that's, you know, you're telling me this, but my friends are telling me this. I think this is what it is that I need to do, or whatever it might be. So I think cultural authorities, it becomes easy to listen to. Yeah. I think everybody, I'll say this in my office to people, everybody takes their cues from somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody does. I don't care who you are. You take your cues from somebody. It might be you. Maybe you're trusting yourself. You're trying to coach yourself. But all of us do.
Yeah.
And I think what Jesus is coming in, he's the one who absolutely loves us. And yet he is the absolute authority.
Hmm.
And what's interesting about Jesus is he doesn't make us recognize that, at least presently. There come a time when every knee will bow, every tongue confess.
Yeah.
But he invites us to that. And that's where I think the surrender comes. Yeah.
What's hard sometimes is with all those cultural things, whether it's politics, whether it's media, whether it's our cues from, voices, influencers, the tides of our tribe. We've all got people that we like listen to. We're like, what do you guys think? I think what's hard sometimes is there's very real things going on in our personal lives, in America, in the globe. And we can say, like, when you follow Jesus, you're like, that's cool. And we look at Jesus and we're like, he didn't really talk about this specifically, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, that's cool. But the funny thing is, even at the time, because we want like a quick answer. We want a, which side should I click? Which box should I check? Should I be for or against this? Should I do this or not do this? And obviously Jesus has a plethora of those types of things. But even when he was teaching, he wasn't always given the clearest answer. You know, when they kind of come to him with the coin, like, should we pay it or not pay it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says a little riddle, flips a little coin, and they're like, so what was he saying there? You know, mm-hmm. Or they come, hey, what do I got to do to get in heaven? And he asks them a question back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all the time that Jesus, oh, A or B? Oh, B for sure. Have a good day, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so not just now, we're like, I feel like he wasn't addressing exactly what we wanted, so it's hard to follow his authority. Even at the time, he was perplexing to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, which in that calls us to a deeper followership. It almost calls us to inspect ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We want Jesus to submit to our authority. A or B, Jesus, he's like, I'm not submitting to your authority.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling you into something deeper. I'm calling you to look at yourself differently. And I think that's what's a challenge is mm-hmm. everything is right on this level. And so it's easier to submit to these ideas. And Jesus is constantly calling us deeper. The seed is slower. What he wants is transformation in us, not just mm-hmm. an answer for this present situation. And yeah.
If you think about just the premise of the question, assumes my authority to present to Jesus two options.
Right.
Which of these do you choose, Jesus? And, you know, it's almost like Joshua when he's before the angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, whose side are you on? It's like, neither.
Yeah.
You know, and so because Jesus is the authority. And I think his questions, this wasn't the point of the question necessarily, but a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times would expose the idol or the true authority in that person's life.
Yeah.
You know, so he would ask questions,
right.
And eventually the question would get down to, oh,
Yes.
I'm choosing that authority, or I'm holding on to that idol, whatever it might be. Yeah, the premise of the question says, I'm the authority.
Yeah.
Jesus, which of these do you agree with? And I think it's the wrong question.
Yeah.
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 I agree with you.
Which, when it comes to like, so what does that mean for us tangibly? I think it feels overly simple, but for us to really look at what is my time in prayer with Christ actually look like? Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's just put it on a scale, you know, my actual time in the Word, those things that are me submitting to His authority, being in His presence, doing the things that we know He told us to do. You know, it's very easy to be preoccupied with all these, what would Jesus do, things on a third level, but am I partaking in practicing the things that He for sure called us to? And how does mm-hmm. that form us under His authority? Help us mm-hmm. to submit under His authority. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got to get yourself to where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think something as basic as He has the authority to forgive sins mm-hmm. and about how a lot of Christians will live their Christian life trying to gain God's approval.
Yeah.
Which is, in essence, a not recognizing of the authority He has to forgive sins and living in light of His acceptance and forgiveness. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it can be a rubber meet in the road kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or you think about calming the storm. I think of those three Hebrew young men in the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. They weren't in a storm. They were in a fire. And they're like, we believe He can. But even if He doesn't.
Yeah.
I think we sing a song like that.
Yeah.
Even if He doesn't do another thing for me.
Which is maybe the best, just the best passage in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, in terms yeah. of our response to God. Yeah.
Yeah. He has absolute authority.
Yeah.
For me, Aiden, the thing that I, maybe as a pastor, because I think there's tons of counter authorities that we listen to. Podcasts have become a big thing, and so my pet podcast, and so that guy said it, so everything he says. I think pastors can be that way.
Oh, sure.
We'll say sometimes from the front, like, check us on this.
Yeah.
Or it's good to say, hey, this is what God's Word says. Here's my opinion. You know?
Yeah.
Things like that. I think for me, the thing that as a pastor I long for myself to experience and embrace, and then people that we get a chance to serve and shepherd, is the fact that the recognition of the absolute authority of Jesus in my life is the pathway to true freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people that are living under a yoke of slavery yeah. to a lot of things. And I think that is the upside-down message of Jesus, that it can throw us off.
Yeah.
You know, He says, take up your cross and follow Me. And it's like, I kind of like to take up my American dream and follow that. And He's like, this is the path. This is life as that's abundant and life as it was meant to be. And so I think that can be the part that I long as a pastor, one, to embrace myself.
Sure.
Because I wrestle it. I fight it.
Yeah.
I trust myself. And then I long for others to experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rubber meeting the road, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good word. I'm excited to have one more week of this series, and then kind of going into the words and the teachings of Jesus. You know, what were the things He demonstrated through what He taught, through what He did, and how does that kind of call us to put the rubber on the road in those ways?
Yeah, and this last week you did a great job talking about demons.
We're having a good time. It's a good one for online. You know what I mean? You're like, if you're at home in a snowstorm, you're like, I'll click on it, see what they're going to do.
Isn't it awesome, though, that He has authority over demons? You think about, how does that play into our life?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think to myself that there, we talked about this on our Mexico trip. There, we have a real enemy.
Yeah.
But there are some Christians that live afraid of that.
Sure.
I don't have to live afraid of it. Then there's other Christians who go, well, I'm gonna fight the devil. And what James said is this, resist him
yeah.
by submitting to the one with the ultimate authority.
Yeah.
That's the way we fight him.
Yeah.
Submitting to the ultimate authority of the Lord, who has authority over the demons.
Tell us that story. We got time. People can turn off whenever they want, right?
Yeah, don't turn us off yet.
We on Sunday, we're talking about Jesus' authority over the spiritual realm. Mark 5, casting the demons into pigs. That's just it's a punk rock story. You know, I was bummed I couldn't do it four times with the church on Sunday. But you guys kind of had a moment in Mexico where you were kind of being like, you guys just kind of tell us the conversation you had with the team, mm-hmm. the Wednesdays and all that kind of stuff, and just what you guys are mentally preparing for with the work that you were doing in light of that conversation we were having.
Yeah. Well, we flew in on Saturday, and the very first devotional thought that we kind of were going to lead them through is Ephesians 6, that, hey, let's get our minds ready. We're not just here to do physics, but there's a spiritual battle that'll take place. And so how do we prep? How do we be aware of? How do we be alert? And one of the things I mentioned to the team, you know, Sarah Friddle, who's our outreach director, mentioned to me that a lot of times teams that go out on about Wednesday, things go off the rails and people get, you know, frustrated, angsty, and all that. And so I thought, I'd share that with the team, you know. And, hey, Wednesday, and I'll be aware of it and things like that. And, you know, some of the team was like, I don't know, you know, like what I think about that. What was interesting is, you know, little by little, the team was able to see kind of the battle's different. It's not just like, I'm going to will myself through this. We can fight through this.
Which is all of our kind of default is to, like, I can figure it out.
Yeah. But what does it mean for us to prayerfully submit? I mean, that night, I was preaching the next morning. That night, I lost my voice. Mm-hmm. And we're like, uh-oh, you know? And so, you know, little by little, we saw some things happen. And I actually had one of my team members who I had a great time with come and say, hey, man, I don't know that I realized the actual battle that's going on. And just the need to be constantly prayerful in that and surrendered. Because even in that moment, I remember saying to the Lord, like, you know that I'm preaching.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that's a, hey, God, did you know I'm preaching? I need my voice. It was like, you know. And so what does it mean for me to surrender to you in this moment?
Yeah.
'Cause I'm sure Satan wants a victory. And we got to see God do some amazing things. And praise God, by his grace, we didn't have a Wednesday, you know. And I don't think it was just because we willed our way through it, powered through it. I think we prayerfully were aware.
Yeah.
And we said, we're not going to let Satan have the victory. We're going to submit to God in this. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But there is a battle that goes on. And what God wants to build, Satan wants to destroy. I'm positive of that.
What's unique is you guys are doing unique work on that trip. And so your perspective changes because you got on a plane, flew, different situation, maybe uncomfortable, culture change, all those things. So you're more aware. Those realities happen every day for us as we were talking about this in our small group last night, and someone was like, we separate the spiritual from the physical, but not in an overdramatic sense, but everything is spiritual in the sense of our marriages, Satan wants to destroy, our relationships with one another, he wants to chip away at, advancing the gospel through his redemptive work and reconciliation through our relationships, like he doesn't want to happen. So it's easy to have Wednesdays, a lot of days, you know, with people. Now that was, you guys are kind of hyper aware of those things, and it was a unique situation, but it just brings to mind like how easy it is for me to be unaware and kind of lulled into like, well, just going to work, you know, in our normal days.
I think the reason that one of the reasons we're unaware of it, maybe this is a different podcast, but I really don't think Satan has to mess much with us when we live in a comfortable, cozy Christianity. It's the minute you step out and recognize the authority of Jesus in your life and that you're an ambassador of Christ, whether in your marriage, like husbands who want to say, I want to spiritually be a thermostat.
Yeah.
Guarantee Satan will start messing with you.
Yeah.
Like or the minute you start seeing yourself at work, like, hey, these people I work with don't know Christ. I need to be a demonstration of the gospel, and when I have opportunities, be a proclamation of it.
Yeah,
I'd be really aware of the enemy because I think he'll want to mess with you. Then I think it's just easy when you kind of like, oh, I'm just going to slide.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't know. Is there really a spiritual battle?
You look at right before Mark 5 is Mark 4, and in there is the parable of the sowers. We're just going to keep this podcast going. What are we doing?
I like it.
In the parable, you know, spreading the seed, and it lands on different soils. The first one lands on dry ground. The birds pick it off. Second one shoots up quick, no root. Third one gets choked out by other things. He tells his disciples, the first one, like the bird, Satan snatches it away.
Yeah.
You're like, what seed's that? Satan's like, that'll be mine.
Yeah.
And then the second one, you know, there's no root, and it just shoots up. And then the third one, I don't have the passage in front of me, but it gets choked out by the allure of wealth, the anxieties of this life. And check me on it. I think it says many other things, mm-hmm. one of the translations, like kind of this, there's all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about if that seed is getting choked out because we're worried about this, we're trying to do this and many other things. And he's like, I don't really have to go snatch those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. And you see, just think of the spiritual weight of mm-hmm. the moment that we're in, just as followers of Jesus in our context, and how that same kind of alertness of the Wednesdays with the team in Mexico is what Jesus calls us to be alert in mm-hmm. the work that we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's a great passage to make the point, because probably we in our country, there's a lot of soil that's in a thorny patch.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things to choke out what God wants to do. Yeah.
It's good. All right.
I like it.
There's a couple podcasts in there, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging with us.
Look at us.